Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Mo Ray, and this is The Other Side. Joining me, as usual, is Joe Danier. Hello, Joe.
How you doing?
All right. Good. Well, you're going to be, what, a disembodied?
Hello, everybody.
Oh, I thought that's the one step I missed, folks. I didn't turn my phone down, which you got to do that.
That's usually me. I'm the one that's picking that up usually.
Okay, but at least I know I'm coming out to you. So. So anyway, thanks for being with us today, and a lot to talk about, but I kind of wanted to just talk to you, Joe. You're off camera for the moment, but you want to be off camera?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Like, all right. Well, that voice you hear is Joe Danier, and I just want to – so Ohio is open, and you saw what happened over the weekend. We made national news of some of the stuff that went down in Columbus, the overcrowding and the people. They're just ignoring all this. They're pretending – okay, hey, school's out, everything's good, and it's not. We're not there yet. And are you concerned that we might see a resurgence, or you think, oh, whatever, people are going to be people?
I just think that this is inevitable, and you can only keep people locked down for so long before they're going to do it anyway. So would I rather spread it out over a longer period of time? Probably. But, you know, if they go out, get everybody infected, get it out of the way, I mean, more people die, but at least it's done.
And that is a possibility. The rates are up in Texas already, and I know, you know, I'm really disgusted with some of these states. I just feel like, yes, human life is precious. Of course, we want to get the economy back, but isn't there a balance of sorts? But I was talking to you before we started about how hard it is to get unemployment, for example.
Yeah.
How I think I qualify. Well, they told me I qualified. I just haven't been able to get everything rolling for the pandemic unemployment assistance, which is the PUA is something special that was part of the CARES Act that the U.S. Congress passed. But apparently our system is so backed up that you just can't talk to a person. And my problem is something that could be resolved with a simple, and I'm going to look at the camera instead of you.
But, oh, that's good.
All right. That could be resolved with a simple, 5-minute conversation, maybe 5 minutes or less. And it's just so sad that this is the way it is. And I heard a story on the way over on NPR where they were saying how this one guy had waited 7 weeks, and he had they made provisions in this CARES Act for people in the so-called gig economy. That is the people like the people who work for DoorDash, the food delivery people, the Uber drivers and people like that, the so-called gig economy. Right. Only 39 states have accommodated them so far, and even in the states where they have, a lot of people aren't getting paid yet. And that's not even counting people with regular jobs that haven't gotten a check yet. And then you've got Congress arguing over whether we need more money. Well, the money they've already laid out hasn't gone to the right people. And not to mention those notorious stories about, I mean, the L.A. Lakers got a small business loan. They sent the money back. Harvard, Shake Shack. This is ridiculous. Who designs these laws? Well, we know who does. Our Congress. But you would think they would put provisions in there saying to qualify as a small business, you've got a ceiling. If you are a multi-million or billion-dollar corporation, you in no way qualify for a small business loan. But instead, we have what we have, and it's confusion. And in my case, I'm a retired auto worker. I have a pension. But for that guy who's out there or that woman who's out there trying to raise a family and waiting for a check, they can't talk to a human. They access a system that sends them in circles. When you do everything you're supposed to do and it doesn't work, and you cannot talk to a human being, it's extremely frustrating. I've talked to my state representative. I've had some movement there, but even those people can't make this thing move any faster than it's moving, and it's just a damn shame. But I'm worried about... I think we are going to see a resurgence. I think there are going to be some deaths. We had two more deaths yesterday in Mahoning County. And so we're not out of the woods yet. Yet I notice when I do get out, and I don't get out that much, but just going to the store, I would say like at a Sparkle or whatever, you might see a compliance rate of maybe 40%, 40 to 50%, but a lot of people. And what is sad to me, most of these people are the people who need to be wearing the mask the most. These older people, either they act like hey, it's all a bunch of hooey, or it's not going to happen to me. And I worry about those people. And I think you're going to see I had a clip that didn't come through. I don't know if they yanked it off or whatever, but they had an interview with a guy who was a coronavirus a skeptic until he got it, and now he's sending out a warning to people. I wanted to play that, but instead, before we get into that, let's look at the CBS clip. How are we doing with social distancing? And I would say, not too good. That's, wait a minute, is that the one? Yes, it is. Okay, so let's start out with this one, folks. Oh, by the way, our number here is 330-595-1600. That's 330-595-1600 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's see what CBS News said about social distancing.
Texas, where gyms like BeFit in Houston are open, though at limited capacity. Restrictions are easing for more than two-thirds of the country, even though only two states have met the federal guidelines for reopening.
They're parking on the sidewalk.
From this massive party in Central Florida, several officers hurt breaking it up, to these jam-packed beaches and boardwalks in New Jersey.
After like 60-something days indoors, it's nice to soak up the sun back on the beach.
Frustration as social distancing orders are ignored.
Open New Jersey now!
And protests growing in areas still locked down.
We've got to enforce this, but I also don't want to start World War III.
Florida will soon allow vacation rentals again, except the governor says for visitors from the pandemic's epicenter.
If you tell me you're going to rent them out to people from New York City, I'm probably not going to approve that, okay?
In Texas, child care services can reopen immediately. Bars, bowling alleys, and zoos on Friday, except for a few COVID hotspots.
Texas is prepared to move into phase two for further opening up for business.
The announcement comes amid an outbreak in the panhandle, officials say is due to more testing at meatpacking plants. The big three automakers restarted production today with mandatory temperature checks for about 83,000 workers at 48 plants across eight states.
Feel kind of excited about getting back. It's like we storming the beach on Normandy, you know what I'm saying?
But the crush to the economy growing. Uber today cutting another 3,000 jobs, closing 45 offices. Sports are back. NASCAR ran this 400-mile race in South Carolina without fans in the stands. The names of healthcare workers fighting the virus, replacing drivers' names on their cars.
It was great for our sport, but I think it was great for sports in general.
High fly ball.
Major League Baseball announced when it returns, new rules include no spitting, showers, hugs, or high fives.
Swing and a miss.
And necessity, the mother of invention for a Maryland restaurant. A table that looks waterworthy for socially distant dining, 6 feet apart.
Here in Texas, the governor says professional sports like golf, tennis, auto racing can resume at the end of the month. And tonight, Notre Dame University has announced it will start its fall semester early and end it early before Thanksgiving, just as the flu season is starting. Nora?
Well, there we are. And that's what's concerning me. By the way, I want to give the numbers again, 330-595-1600. It's just one number. I'm so used to giving more than one in at past times in my life. But also, I want to say hello to folks who are tuning in. Hey, Tim, how's it going? And I totally agree with what he's saying. He's saying the ones I see who do not wear a mask is overwhelmingly men. No joke. I think the macho thing has a lot to do with that. But I'm going to tell you right now, by the way, I think we got the best example of that in the president himself. He's touring a Ford plant. At least he's already set that up. He's going around the governor of Michigan, who he's always had a thing with. So the governor and Ford itself didn't want any unauthorized people in there. But the president, of course, is the president. But Ford's policy is that everyone in their plant wears a mask. That's everyone, including executives. We will see if the nation's executive wears a mask as well. But I totally agree with what you're saying there. And then Christine says, my friend is a waitress and she didn't qualify for unemployment. She doesn't make enough. That's what happened with me in the radio. I didn't make enough, and that's my discrepancy, where I have a pension, and the pension amount is significantly different than the radio amount. This is something that if I could talk to a person, I could say, here's my situation. But the, you know, when you're just filling in spots on a screen, there's no recourse. You can't If it's not one of the frequently asked questions, you're screwed. But yes, let me finish her point, though. Yes, my friend is a waitress. She didn't qualify for unemployment. She doesn't make enough. And my granddaughter's dance studio didn't get any money. Yeah, how about that? Yet, multi-billion-dollar corporations, as I said, in some cases did get money that that a lot of them were shamed into giving back. Not to mention the fact, did you see where President Trump's buddy, who was a big donor to his campaign, a private jet manufacturer, got a big, he got the biggest package so far. If that's not cronyism, I don't know what is. Of course, that doesn't fall under small business, but still. Private jets, really? There's regular people out there hurting, and they'll never fly on a private jet. Let's see. And hello to Julie. And hold on, let me see if I, do I scroll? I can scroll here. I'm fancy, man. All right, let's see who else is here. All right. Well, I guess that's all so far. But that's, I'm sorry. Hey, B.A. Levy, same here. Yeah, no unemployment for you. And you, I know, lady, we're Facebook friends, and you've had a lot of trouble. And hey, I'd like to hear your stories. How are you getting by? What are you doing? I mean, you got to have money. You got to eat. But our government has failed us, and it seems like they're continuing to do so. And that's the federal government, the state government, and in some cases the local government, depending on where you are. I know in the case of Youngstown, I know even though the schools were closed down, they were still feeding kids who got lunch. They were, you know, thousands of lunches were handed out by the city of Youngstown during this. So I know that some, I don't know what's going on in Warren. If you know that, that'd be nice to know. But I know that at least the local governments are doing what they can. But I think, you know, when you turn on the TV and you hear the president or Vice President Pence tell you, hey, everything, the engine's starting up again, everything's good, and you know it's not good. When you hear them on another subject, when you hear them say anybody wants a test can get a test, you still, many of you, couldn't get a test if you wanted to unless you're presenting symptoms. There is the antibody test, which we've talked about. Joe himself has had that, but as I said, that's not a freebie. That's $169. And that's something that I plan to do because I'm pretty sure I had in January, I must have had something. It was a very flu-like situation. I had my flu shots, and I would just like to know what's going on with me. And when you, now we're rushing into this back to work, daycare centers and all that. What if somebody asymptomatic is working at your daycare center and infects your child? I know kids are harder to infect, but still. There's just a lot that's going to play out over the next few weeks, and it's really tragic. I wish, but I don't have the answer. Let's see, Ron says mega carriers are getting subsidies to survive, but independent truckers haven't gotten a thing. Oh, I believe that. Like I said, I don't get it. They're missing the point. You know, this is supposed to, it's called the CARES program, but it seems like they don't care. Unless you're a big shot corporation, you're waiting for some assistance. I know most of you have probably gotten your stimulus check by now, that $1,200, but some are probably, if you're waiting for a paper check, you're still waiting. So this has been a real disaster, and it really sickens me that the current president, 3.5 years in, is still trying to blame the previous administration. To me, I say it all the time, I bring up the Harry Truman thing, but the buck stops here, pal. You're running things. And this is a guy who can take no criticism whatsoever. Sometimes a criticism, instead of saying, thank you for, I was unaware of that. Thank you for bringing that up. Instead, he attacks the person, whether they be some other, like a fellow politician or a journalist. And I expect better from the President of the United States, but I don't expect much from the current President of the United States. And if you're tuning in for the first time, I am not a fan. I think that this guy, he puts on a good show, but that's about it. Even with those flyovers they were giving these people. You know what? Instead of putting those planes in the air, it would have been nice maybe to just put that money toward more PPE for the people, a little protective equipment. I mean, I'm thinking if I'm a doctor and I'm dealing with death all day, or a nurse, you know, stepping out on the front porch of the hospital and looking up and seeing the Blue Angels, that's nice, but really? And not to mention Canada did a similar thing, and they lost a pilot over the weekend. I'm you know, enough with the showmanship and the garbage. We our government is not coming through. And this is also a time for those of you who think you want socialism. Do you want this government handling every aspect of your life? This has shown me one thing. I mean, what if your health care did come through the government exclusively? And I'm not talking about some of the systems that work better, like Social Security and Medicare. There's probably glitches there as well over time. But I'm talking about your every health care need came from a government system. Now, I know we're the only country in the Western world that doesn't have a government-controlled health care system. But with this government, I'm starting to wonder if you want them to control your health care. But we've got to do better. We've got to demand better. We've got to vote better. 330-595-1600. Let's see.
Are you going to be voting libertarian this time around? Come over. With the
No, no, no. Unfortunately, as bad as the choices are, we've got two terrible choices, just like we did last time.
Yep.
And I'm not going to I respect anybody's right to vote for a third party or the Green Party or whatever, but to me, you might as well throw your ballot out the window. Yeah, you've expressed your opinion. You've made your, you stated your case, so to speak, but are you accomplishing anything? To me, I'm sorry, we're still in the age of the lesser of two evils. I don't know if Joe Biden were president, if things would be that much better, but I think a Joe Biden would probably, if you look at some of the speeches Barack Obama made during the Ebola crisis or H1N1 crisis, or if you go back to other things, other presidents have addressed this differently than this president. This guy is the president of happy talk. And I tell you right now, if I'm broke, if I'm sick, if I don't know where to turn, happy talk is not what I need. I need answers. And another comment here, despite his issues, the late Jim Traficant's crazy style seems acceptable compared to today's bizarre, dangerous actions and inactions of Donald Trump. Right. At least Traficant truly was a man of the people when he said he was a truck driver's son. I heard him say that at least a couple of times. He really was. Where this guy, as Howard Stern said, I don't know if you heard that, Stern and Trump used to be pretty good buddies. And he said, you know, he doesn't hate Trump. Trump is just doing his thing. He hates the Trump supporters. He said that. He said, I don't need you. Basically, he told his audience that. He said, you guys are just making a big mistake here. If you went to Mar-a-Lago, he wouldn't even let you in. And yet you think he cares about you. And you know that's true. And don't even get me started on that situation where this president who preaches against illegal immigration and all that, let's remember as late as February, or actually it was last June, some illegal workers were fired from his properties. Let's remember that at Mar-a-Lago, there it is, a bunch of people who work there have H-2B visas. They're not even American citizens. So why is this champion of the working American employing non-Americans? These are legal people because they have status because of their visa. But you look it up. I'm not making this up just because I don't hate Trump. Oh, wait a minute. I do hate Trump. I'm sorry. I slipped. Big time. But anyway, yeah, I totally agree, though. If Jim Traficant, despite his bizarre behavior, he did care. You could call Traficant's office, and you could bet sooner or later you would get some action. Here's something else I wanted to bring up, though. Speaking of masks, and I actually saw a young lady. I went to Handel's last night because they're reopened now. Got some. Mine is butter pecan. That's my favorite there. But everybody had. What's yours?
Graham Central Station. Got it. My favorite.
Got to try it.
Oh,
okay.
It's amazing.
All right. You know, and I even take it to another level. Butter pecan ice cream in a root beer float, dancing cheek to cheek. I'm telling. But I went there, and one of the young ladies was wearing one of the masks that is referenced in this story. You're protecting yourself, but you're breathing. Well, let them tell you, okay? Oh, I hope I should have known. Hold on. Let's just do a volume down on
Colgate
that.
Colgate Total is different. It fights bacteria.
We don't want to hear the commercial. and we'll go through the commercial. But these masks, they may be more comfortable, but there is a threat. Now, here we go. It's one of those days, folks. That's all right, like I said. And my call continues to go out. Go ahead.
Stephen Fabian reports you could be wearing one and not even know it.
In the booming demand for face masks, we have a warning for you. The existence and dangers of counterfeit masks.
If you're a healthcare worker, a grocery store worker, and you're depending on this for your health and your safety, you need to know that it is a legit product.
So we sent a team of producers shopping for face masks. At this hardware store in New York City, he's selling one face mask for $6.99, five for $29.99.
Where did you get that from?
We got some guy who called us. And we had to meet him on the street and get him cash.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It sounded a little odd, so we tracked down the supplier and ordered some.
All right, here we go.
We arranged to meet in the heart of Times Square, where the driver handed over a bag full of masks.
Do you mind if I just check it?
100 face masks for $390. And look, the box says N95, the face mask healthcare workers rely on. But are they really? Not according to NYU professor Dr. Jack Caravanos, a leading expert on environmental health.
Well, right away, there's all sorts of red flags with the mask that you purchased. For example, the mask that you bought right here, this says N95, but it is not an N95. So when you take it out of the box, I could tell right away it's not an N95. Why? Well, right here, these straps. Going around your ears like this means it's not a CDC-approved N95.
So we rented this van to pick up an additional 3,000 masks, but they had no idea our cameraman was waiting inside. This time we met with the boss.
Okay, so this is it.
Yeah.
That's him, right there, wearing the mask.
How are you getting these? I mean, they're so hard to find.
I manufactured them in China. So we sent to hospitals, we sent to other people.
That's when we decided to tell him who we really are.
What's this?
Hey, how's it going, man? We're from Inside Edition. My name's Stephen Fabian. We'd like to talk to you about these fake masks that you're selling on the internet. These are labeled.
Wait.
You're selling N95 masks, and they're
not certified
by the CDC. You're not selling us these masks. These are masks that we bought from you.
And we never sold you these masks.
Aren't you guys trying to make money off the pandemic?
Absolutely not.
Well, there you have it. By the way, that wasn't the story. I actually sent the wrong story, and that's my fault. Like I said, it's been a crazy day. I've had some issues going on at home, so not your problem. But it was a kind of a jumbled day. But that's bad enough. But the other story regarded those masks you see with a little valve on the side, those protect you. Your incoming air is purified. But that valve that allows escape of air when you breathe out, you might be still potentially infecting people around you. That was another Inside Edition story they had, and I find that particularly troubling. So when you see those masks, yeah, the person, they're good, but don't get too close to them, because if they are asymptomatic or if they have an infection, that little valve is releasing the virus. So something to bear in mind. And I'm glad we did run that clip, because I actually, when I saw N95 on it, I thought that's not an N95. N95 masks have a little plastic piece, if you've noticed. And those are the ones, and as the guy said, they fit very snugly, not by elastic bands. So I bought, and I'm not going to say where I bought this from, but I guess when you buy your mask from a hardware store, I guess you're not exactly buying from a professional regarding this matter. But so there's something to be aware of. A couple of things I threw out there. But here's something also, another Inside Edition story real quick. Where did you realize there are exceptions? Some people in PA, I know you folks have to wear a mask whether you're the shopper or the person running the store. And one guy had an exception. You can get a doctor's excuse, basically. And this is an interesting story.
Store for refusing to wear a mask.
Out on the sidewalk.
He records the intense confrontation on his cell phone as he gets the boot.
Don't touch me!
But 23-year-old Nick Conley says he has a good reason for not wearing a mask.
What is your medical condition?
It is a panic attack anxiety disorder.
Film me.
Mask, we have to leave.
I have a doctor's note where I don't have to wear one.
The doctor's note reads, please excuse Nicholas Conley from any face mask requirements to the extent permitted by law due to a medical condition.
The incident happened in Pennsylvania, a state that requires both shoppers and workers to wear masks. But there is an exception for those with medical conditions.
The grocery store Giant Eagle released a statement saying, "We have numerous options in place to best support guests who report a medical condition and appropriately bring it to the attention of store leadership. This includes offering to have one of our team members shop for them."
Go on, outside.
Get off of me! Don't touch me!
The confrontation got physical, with Conley admitting he pushed a security guard after he says he was pushed first. He's been charged with disorderly conduct and assault.
It escalated fast, and I can see where people see that video and they're just like, oh my gosh.
Get off of me! Don't touch me!
There you have it. There is resistance, but it, let's see. Oh, well, Casey. Hello, Casey from Kentucky. And she says, some in Kentucky, but no one is abiding by the rule. And some stores aren't enforcing it. And that's the other thing I'm seeing. I mean, that's why I was glad to hear the governor here in Ohio say that they're going to actually have extra officers out to make sure these bars are not, that they're at least trying to abide by the rules when it comes to social distancing. You don't need a bunch of people bunched up like you saw in that video in various places. I was surprised. One of the worst offenders is California, which is always one of the most liberal states in the union, and usually they get it. They get science. They're not a bunch of science agnostics like some conservatives seem to be. I'm not saying that some conservatives don't wear a mask, but it seems if you watch these protests and these groups of people with their guns and their signs, most of them are not wearing masks. So, and oh, their signs and their Trump flags. How could I forget their Trump flags? But anyway, one more thing I want to show you. Speaking of Trump, Trump versus Obama, the former president, the current president mentions Obama's name all the time. Like I said, 3.5 years in, he can't keep Obama's name out of his mouth. The former president expressing himself, as he's allowed to by the First Amendment, but he did so without ever mentioning Donald Trump's name, and then Trump responded to it.
Fully, finally torn back the curtain on the idea that so many of the folks in charge know what they're doing. A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge. If the world's going to get better, it's going to be up to you. Doing what feels good, what's convenient, what's easy, that's how little kids think. Unfortunately, a lot of so-called grown-ups, including some with fancy titles and important jobs, still think that way, which is why things are so screwed up.
The working weekend, it was a good weekend. A lot of very good things have happened.
What about Obama's comments? Obama's comments?
I didn't hear it. Look, he was an incompetent president. That's all I can say. Gross.
Obama's finally saying something. And then Fox News, of course, they were offended by the fact that the president says anything. Barack Obama was a much better man than I was. But I guess, you know, like I said, some people respect the office. So he's not going to respond to the petty attacks by this man, the constant references to him, blaming him for things that he's not responsible for, that he left me with broken test. That's just a flat-out lie, and I hate to keep repeating it, but how do you test for a disease? Barack Obama left office in January 2017. COVID-19 is called that because it wasn't discovered or named until 2019, and there wasn't a broken test to be left. What the president is referring to are tests that were defective tests that were put out by the CDC that had nothing to do with Obama, but he keeps blaming Obama for his problems. By the way, Mr. Great President, you haven't corrected the problem in 3.5 years? I don't get it. I'm really sick of this man. And it goes beyond that. I'm going to say this right here and now. I'm not a perfect person, but I have never detested a human being more than I do the President of the United States because of his pettiness, his lies, and he will say anything. If this man loses the election, you wait and see. I keep saying it. He will spend his last couple of months in office sowing seeds of derision. Hey, the whole thing was rigged. The media was against me. Let's check, how many of those votes were legal? He won't worry about trying to keep the country stable and just saying have a clean transition of power, because he'll be, it's all about him. It's not about you. But speaking of him, here he goes again, folks. I don't know. The big revelation yesterday, and this is the way it went down. By the way, this is from a site called Occupy Democrats. And this is...
This one still? Or that one's cut off?
The Cavuto one. There we go. Neil Cavuto, actually right after the president made the revelation that he's taking hydroxychloroquine, Neil Cavuto was shocked because people have died from this. Multiple studies, people have died. Our own VA had people die experimenting with this. Yet, well, if you haven't heard by now, let's just let it play out. By the way, this is from Occupy Democrats. So between Cavuto and the president's comments, there is a comment by Tyler Cohen, and he's the host of this.
That was stunning. The president of the United States, just to acknowledge that he is taking hydroxychloroquine, a drug that meant really to treat malaria and lupus. The president has insisted that it has enormous benefits for patients either trying to prevent or already have a COVID-19. The fact of the matter is, though, when the president said, what have you got to lose, in a number of studies, those are certainly vulnerable to the population have one thing to lose, their lives. A VA study showed that among a population of veterans in a hospital receiving this treatment, those with vulnerable conditions, respiratory conditions, heart ailments, they died. There are also a number of other studies out, including the Journal of the American Medical Association, which examined some 1,438 individuals in the New York area across 25 hospitals from the middle of March to the end of March. The study was a real chance to look at the benefits that the president insisted were hydroxychloroquine. They concluded that among residents hospitalized in metropolitan New York with COVID-19, the treatment or both compared with neither treatment, no statistical differences. A second study done by Joseph Gilaris and colleagues at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, Columbia University Irving Medical Center in northern Manhattan from March 7th to April 8th also showed there were no visible differences, that the risk of intubation or death was not significantly higher or lower among patients who received hydroxychloroquine versus those who did not. The VA study to which the president alluded wasn't a loaded political one. It was a test on patients there and those who took it in a vulnerable population, including those with respiratory or other conditions, they died. I want to stress again, they died. If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment to ward off the virus, or in a worst case scenario, you are dealing with the virus, and you are in this vulnerable population, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
Just a normal day in the Trump era where a host on the network known for kowtowing to his every whim has to break into a live press conference to warn viewers that they will literally die if they follow the president's suggestions. Neil Cavuto was forced to issue this frantic warning after Trump casually admitted that he's been taking hydroxychloroquine as a preventative measure against coronavirus.
I think, for whatever it's worth, I take it. I would have told you that 3-4 days ago, but we never had a chance because you never asked me the question.
Did the White House doctor recommend that you take that? Is that why you're taking it?
Yeah, White House doctor. I didn't recommend. No, I asked him, what do you think? He said, well, if you'd like it. I said, yeah, I'd like it. I'd like to take it. A lot of people are taking it. A lot of frontline workers are taking hydroxychloroquine. I was just waiting to see your eyes light up when I said this, but, you know, when I announced this. But, yeah, I've taken it for about a week and a half now, and I'm still here. I'm still here.
Can you explain, sir, though, what is the evidence that it has a preventative effect?
Here we go. You ready? Here's my evidence. I get a lot of positive calls about it. And I say, hey, you know the expression I've used, John? What do you have to lose? Okay? What do you have to lose?
So
I have been taking it for about a week and a half.
Every day?
At some point, every day. I take a pill every day. At some point, I'll stop. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have the cure and or the vaccine, and that'll happen, I think, very soon.
Now, I should just note that the irony
of
Neil...
That's enough. That's my problem. You heard the stern warning from Cavuto. By the way, the president responded. He tweeted, Fox News is no longer the same. We miss the great Roger Ailes. You have more anti-Trump people by far than ever before. Looking for a new outlet. Translation, folks, unless a news network agrees with everything I say, even pushing a medicine that has been demonstrated to kill some people, if that network disagrees with me, then they're no good. The only good network is the network that echoes everything I say. That's absurd, and that's dangerous. And it's just sad that we're in this situation. By the way, another comment, it says, when an entertainer becomes president, you get a show. Right, Tim. This is on the voters. Trump's what he's always been, a con man, a showman. And he goes on further to say, what do we have to lose? We heard in 2016. See what we got, folks? Good Lord. And I'm glad to hear people who agree. And even if you don't agree, I'd like to hear from you at 330-595-1600. Because I'm tired of people defending this. But I did notice my next clip, and it's a brief one. It goes by real quick. It even loops. But Speaker Nancy Pelosi expressed her concern about the president pushing this drug.
As far as the president is concerned, he's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say. As far as the president is concerned...
I like that. She's concerned about our morbidly obese president. So she knows how to get under his skin. I love that. I disagree with her on some things, but I love the way she knows how to needle Donald Trump, and he takes the bait every time. I've not heard him respond to the obese comment, but I'm sure there's a tweet out there somewhere or one coming. Let's see. Oh, but what else might be coming? Big news the other day, an American company might have a new vaccine. Oh, actually, you know what? That's the wrong one. But let's do this anyway, because this is concerning me, too. The Lincoln Project, which is comprised of a bunch of disaffected Republicans, they're not Trumpists. They're real Republicans. They're real conservatives. And they know that the Republican Party has been hijacked by a madman. And they've been putting together some excellent ads. It is notable. One of the people, Steve Schmidt, used to work for George H.W. Bush. One of the people, George Conway, is the husband of Kellyanne Conway. I'm glad there are a few Republicans who have a conscience and who see that we have a whack job in the White House.
Nearly 10,000 more Americans will die. 90,000 deaths and growing. Millions more will file for unemployment. Small businesses are dying. We're not testing enough. It's still spreading. Here's what else is coming this week. He will lie to you over and over. He will tweet instead of lead. He will blame others for his failures. Welcome to this week and the next week and the next and the next until you do something about it. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising. Nearly 10,000 more Americans.
There we go, going over again. But yeah, I'm all for this. Yeah, but once again, my shout out, if anybody is an audio person, I have been searching for audio editing, well, not audio, video editing, a video editing app or software that would allow me to take these clips. I know this is like basic stuff, but apparently people who are very smart people can't seem to give me the answer I need. I just, instead of enduring that loop, we could have just cut it right at the last moment. And there should be a way to do that. But without paying a fortune. So if you know, give us a call at 330-595-1600. Would like to know how to do that. If you don't call today, you can call Thursday. But let's see. But other good news. No, there was one more about the vaccine. What happened to that one? Not that one. Let's go back. Hold on.
That's all I got right now.
That's all you had. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I thought I sent that. Hold on. I'd rather send that before we get into this. Well, hold on just a second, folks. But You know what? You can run that because this shows this president's pettiness. Ever since Ronald Reagan, every president has, it started to be a tradition. And this president breaks many traditions. He doesn't, you know, there, he doesn't attend the press correspondents' dinner. He didn't go to the Kennedy Center honors. So he does a lot of things his way. He only wants to be surrounded by a friendly crowd. He doesn't want to take a chance on going somewhere where he might get booed. But in the past, it's been a tradition for the current president to welcome the past president to the White House for the unveiling of their portrait. Well, this is a story from NBC News.
President, you did make this nation strong, respected abroad, and because of your leadership, America stood tall then, stands tall now.
Nancy, don't fail to take a look. They're sure different than a lot of those cartoons we had to put up with.
Over 8 years, it was clear that Bill Clinton loved the job of the presidency. He filled this house with energy and joy.
Mr. President, I had mixed feelings coming here today, and they were only confirmed by all those kind and generous things you said. Made me feel like I was a pickle stepping into history.
Michelle and I are grateful to the entire Bush family for their guidance and their example during our own transition. George, I will always remember the gathering you hosted for all the living former presidents before I took office, your kind words of encouragement.
It has been a White House tradition for decades, a president hosting his immediate predecessor in the East Room to unveil the portrait of the former president that will hang in the halls of the White House. Joining us once again from the White House, NBC News correspondent Carol Lee with her new reporting on whether President Trump may uphold this tradition with President Obama. Carol, I suspect that's a question that answers itself.
It sure does. You know, as you said, this is something that's been kind of a ritual or rite of passage for a former president who's just left office. The first one that seems to have been formally taken place goes back to 1980, where then President Jimmy Carter hosted Gerald Ford, who he had just defeated in the election 4 years ago, and they got together with the first ladies and unveiled their portraits. And, you know, this is, it's really a symbol of, or has been a symbol of, how the institution of the presidency sort of transcends the everyday politics that and combative nature of that some different presidents may have engaged in. And what I'm told is that this is not happening while President Trump is in office, that President Obama has no interest in doing it while President Trump is here. And President Trump really doesn't mind, you know, letting go of another White House or presidential tradition like this. And so it's kind of, I think history will look back at this as a snapshot of the political climate in 2020 and how bitter it was. Obviously, President Trump has accused President Obama with made unfounded claims about him committing an unspecified crime. President Obama is going to be campaigning aggressively for Joe Biden against President Trump. But even in an election year, which the last two events in the East Room have been for the unveilings of portraits have been while the sitting president is campaigning for re-election. Usually that's able to be set aside and they can come together and have this event.
And so there you have it. And by the way, I did note there that President Obama is not interested in participating in it either. So I guess there's a mutual dislike between these men. And by the way, on the part of Obama, I don't blame it. Trump feels like Obama, you know, he still hasn't really, really explained what Obamagate is, but that's kind of failing anyway. It's not trending on Twitter. The president or Fox News can repeat it as often as they like, but no crimes were committed. This whole thing with Flynn and the so-called unmasking, as a report I played on the last program pointed out, this is done routinely. It was done over 9,000 times in a single year. So the thing is, when documents are sent out, sometimes names of officials are redacted. That is, when you see the printed page, there's a black mark through that name so you don't know who it is. Sometimes people in Congress or whoever's looking at the document can ask to know who that is. usually it's an American. If it's something where they're dealing with a foreign entity, it's like, okay, so who is this foreign person talking to, whether it be somebody in Saudi Arabia or somebody in Russia? In this particular case, it was General Flynn talking to the Russians. His name was uncovered. And, okay, the only thing I say that maybe slightly, but certainly not a first, his name was leaked to the press, and that started the whole thing with him. But let's remember that during the Mueller investigation, General Flynn pled guilty twice. Not once, twice. And then he wanted to pull back when it looked like he might end up going to jail. I think he thought he was going to get a slap on the hand, and he had a more rigid judge than he thought. But so, and then Attorney General Barr dismiss this, but it's still not over yet because the judge has the final say, and so far the judge has not indicated whether or not he will let this thing go away or if he will abide by General Flynn's guilty pleas. So stay tuned on that one. But in the meantime, the right-wing media and the president are trying to create a scandal where there is none, and we'll talk about that later. But to what I was, sometimes there are good suggestions. Thank you, Julie, for mentioning Tim Ryan's comments on the floor of Congress the other day. And he's usually a pretty mild-mannered guy, but he got a little wound up. And, well, let's see what Congressman Ryan had to say.
I've got to tell you, this is absolutely unbelievable. Just a few years ago, the stock market's at 25,000. Corporate profits are the highest they've been in decades. The rich keep getting richer. And our friends on the other side said, what do we do now? Let's do a tax cut where 83% of it goes to the top 1% of the wealthiest people. Fast forward a few months. Global pandemic. 36 million people unemployed. 40% of families who have a worker that makes $40,000 a year or less lose their job last month. 4 million people didn't pay their rent, and the Republican Party says, we don't have any money to help you. Are you kidding me? Where do you guys live? Food lines around the blocks at our food banks in the United States of America. 1 in 5 kids are going hungry. Your party can't even get food to them. This isn't a wish list. If it's a wish list, it's for the working class people. How about the Teamsters that are going to get a pension when this bill passes?
Gentlemen's time
is
expired.
Act, their pension gets cut in half.
Gentlemen's time is expired.
This is ridiculous.
Gentlewoman from New York
on the
reserves
American people.
The gentleman from Oklahoma.
Well, there you have it. And I don't blame him for being upset because in that thing he mentions at the end, if you know any Teamsters, this is another thing that hasn't been addressed. They've been trying to do something to save these people's pensions through no fault of their own. Because of fluctuations in the stock market and because of other things. In some cases, the companies have gone out of business. There's all kinds of issues there. But a promise was made to these people, and they put their lives, in some cases, on the line doing certain jobs. And there is a good chance that with this Congress, who claims to care about the American people, these people will lose their pensions or at least get about half of what they expected. Now, what do you do when you're in your 60s or so, or 70s even, and suddenly the pension you expected is cut in half? What are you going to do, go sack groceries at Sparkle? I mean, by the way, there's nothing undignified about that, but that's probably not what you had in mind, particularly if you worked a job that broke your body down over 30 years or so. I think it's disgusting. But here's some more positive news real quick, and this was a story about the potential for a vaccine from an American company.
The first stage vaccine trial, Moderna, reporting so far that their vaccine is safe and that it produced antibodies at about the same levels as patients who have now recovered from the infection. And so ABC's Steve Osunsami tonight on what comes next and the timeline now.
It's the break the whole world has been hoping for. An American company working on a vaccine for the coronavirus says that all 45 of their test patients tonight are producing antibodies that fight the disease.
It's been like almost nothing. It's been like getting a flu shot.
Norman Hume of Atlanta feels great this evening, and that matters to everyone because today he received his second dose of a vaccine being produced by Moderna Labs. His first was a month ago.
The ability to have one small role in just getting beyond this pandemic is an amazing opportunity.
In these early results, those 45 patients developed the same level of antibodies as someone who has recovered from COVID-19. The company then tested the blood of 8 of those patients against the actual coronavirus, and in all 8 cases, the virus was killed.
But are those antibodies likely to be protective? Are they neutralizing the virus? And actually, we saw, in fact, in all cases, they were, which was really encouraging.
Any day now, they plan to move on to phase 2 testing, where about 600 patients will get the 2 shots, and scientists will watch for any surprises. By July, they expect to move to the next level, between 1,000 and 10,000 patients testing the vaccine. And if all goes well, they hope the drug can be ready by the end of the year. The president has the same goal, calling it Operation Warp Speed.
Its objective is to finish developing and then to manufacture and distribute a proven coronavirus vaccine as fast as possible.
But just making the drug in millions of doses and getting it to Americans is complicated. And scientists say it's still not clear if this vaccine will truly be effective in real use.
The fact that the Moderna vaccine has been shown to be safe and generate a robust immune response in small numbers of patients is very promising. But now it has to be proven in larger numbers.
Steve Ozensami with us live from the CDC. And Steve, in terms of manufacturing, Dr. Anthony Fauci has said best case scenario could take 6 to 9 months to ramp up from when there's a test. And that's if everything goes smoothly.
Yes, David, even if this vaccine were ready to go today, you still have to put it into something that can be shipped across the country, potentially across the world. These vaccines are also temperature sensitive, so this will require a bit of time and collaboration.
All right, so there you have it. There's some possible good news. The stock market just went nuts on that, but of course it's way early, 40-something people. That's a very small sample. And, of course, you saw that they will continue upping the numbers, and hopefully we'll come up with something. But, of course, you know, when you're testing something like this, you've got to be careful of side effects. Maybe out of those 40 people, everybody's fine. But, you know, there's a lot of people in America that have unique diseases. I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't even know about peanut allergies and all this stuff. There's all kinds of little factors that can be a part of this. So I think we need to, let's not get too excited yet. But hopefully something positive will come from this. But I hesitate, you know, when the president talks about Operation Warp Speed, I just question if we want to move too fast, but hopefully the medical professionals will move at a decent speed. And this is being all over the world. Even the president of China, ironically, which is where it came from, he says if China comes up with a vaccine, they will be sharing it with the world. Well, that's nice of you since you started this, but but anyway, Canada what they thought was a close vaccine as well. So I'll keep you posted on that. Real quick here, I know this is a little silly, but when you hear the current president insult the past president or accuse him of things, this is really, and I don't know if you've ever heard of a internet entertainer. He calls himself Randy Rainbow, and he comes up with some pretty interesting parodies. And this is where he's saying that the whole thing when it comes to Trump and Obama, well, it comes down to one word, and I'll let him sing it to you.
Acting recommended CDC guidelines and wearing a mask. Oh, that's just your face. Let's discuss the unfortunate matter at hand, the global crisis that is devastating countless American lives, wreaking economic havoc, the reason that we have all been forced to take shelter in our homes. Obamagate. What is that?
It was the greatest political crime in the history of our country.
Some of your harshest critics say that these attacks on the former president and your recent Twitter tantrums are meant to distract from your failed coronavirus response.
We're of the assumption that by the end of the year, we're going to have a vaccine.
Ooh, could you hold off on that just a little longer? It's going to take me a while to lose all the quarantine weight.
Look, the less successful we are in opening, the better they are probably, maybe, for an election. But I'm letting people know, in many cases, they're doing it just for...
A global pandemic. Sounds like some fictional Steven Soderbergh bullshit from 2011, right?
Believe it or not, it's a real thing. People are suffering. Millions are out of work. The economy has evaporated, and worst of all, I haven't had a haircut in more than 2 months. So how does an unprepared reality TV host pretending to be the president deal with such an unprecedented crisis? I can tell you in one word.
This was all Obama.
Distraction. Distraction.
This was all Biden.
Distraction.
Distraction. Distraction.
And we caught them.
Distraction. La 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 la. La 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 la. How he tries to occupy your mind. To perplex you.
Hillary Clinton to win.
So many people fighting for their lives or scared to lose their jobs and stuck inside their houses. Thousands of people dying on your watch. And who is it you're thinking of?
Obama?
Obama. Obama.
That's the enemy of the people.
Distraction. Obama. Obama.
It is a disgrace.
Distraction.
We've done more testing than all of the countries in the world.
Anyone who wants can get a test, he shouts. A proper test, a perfect test. Where the hell are all these perfect tests, he touts. There's only one thing on his freaking mind.
Sleepy Joe Biden.
Election. Election.
I'm getting really good poll numbers.
Distraction. Deception. Deception.
Over 10 million tests.
Inaction.
They've never gotten over losing to me.
We hope that you might lead us with some dignity and tact. We thought you'd somehow grow from this, but girl, you're petty. Confusion.
Make America great again, right?
Recession. Election. Inaction.
Nancy Pelosi's a disaster.
Distraction.
Obamagate.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
He tries his best to baffle us. He stupefies and stalls. How long till he just starts posting pictures of his balls?
Vom.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Everybody disagreed when I did that.
Disgusting.
Look, there were a number of questions raised by the actions of the Obama administration.
Distraction.
This was all Obama.
So many people fighting for their lives, but it's back to their shops, but I'm dying for their houses. Thousands of people dying on your watch. Now, two is the first place they go. You're funny. Election. Inaction. Deception.
Distraction.
Distraction. Distraction.
It is a disgrace what's happened.
Distraction.
So, by the way, that's a departure for me, but Randy Rainbow, definitely a talented guy, and he started, well, he's still working out of his apartment in New York. I heard an interview with him on Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Very talented guy, and it's amazing some of the things he's done in the past. And I'm going to start throwing in an occasional parody. There's another lady I like, too, and I can't remember her name. Oh, Betty Ann Bowers, and she is the evangelical voice of reason, or a parody of it. But here's where we are, folks. And I, excuse me from departing from my normal straightforward method, but if you don't laugh, you just might cry. So I thank all of you for paying attention today. And yeah, ask your friends if they know about any editing equipment that I can make an even better show with, because that's what I want to do. Joe is doing all he can to enable me to do what we do here. I'll be back on Thursday at 5. I thank all of you for, by the way, let me just see real quick. The Department of Diversions. You're right, Tim, that we might as well have one. Anyway, and tell your friends. Let's grow this audience. But I'm glad I'm getting people watching in Kentucky and other places. So God bless you, folks. Stay safe out there. I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, thank you very much, Joe. And you keep your eyes on the prize.